All right, you can open the Bible this morning to John chapter number 5. It is good to be here again at Morrow Bible Church and looking forward to this week. Now, let me say a word about tonight. I'll be drawing a picture hopefully tonight. And while I'm drawing, Brother Scott will be running a CD that I've made that has preaching and music interspersed on it. So you'll get a message from the Word spoken, and hopefully the message will be illustrated as well. Let me encourage you to invite folks out. This is really a tool that the Lord uses to get folk to come. Sometimes some people will come to church for something special, something different than just preaching. So let me encourage you to tell them I'll be drawing a picture. There'll be a hidden blacklight scene at the conclusion of it, which hopefully will kind of draw the net on what's being said. And then Wednesday night, I'm going to do another picture entitled The Two Ways in Life. And the Lord's used it greatly over the last few years in saving people. So let me encourage you, if you know someone that's without Christ, they're hopeless, they're on their way to hell, they need the Lord, invite them to come out. If you know backslidden Christians who've fallen by the wayside, say they're saved but not living like it, let me encourage you to get them to come out on Wednesday night. Of course, Monday and Tuesday, I'll just be flat preaching from the Word of God, and the Lord hopefully will do work in our hearts. It's good to be here. John 5, Pastor read the portion that we're going to look at. In fact, we're only going to look at verse number 24. There's plenty there for us in the next 2.5 hours. Yeah, I thought that would get some of you's attention. I'm kidding, okay? But I wanted to see if anyone was awake or whether they just kind of turned the switch off and then turn it back on when the speaker quits droning from the front of the church. We need to be careful when we go to the house of God, that we keep our ears open and our minds engaged. John 5, 24, our Lord is speaking, and He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." It's that last statement I want to build on. We'll look at the whole verse. Passed from death unto life. That seems strange to modern man. Usually when you talk of somebody's passing, you're talking about them not passing from death to life, but from them having passed from life into death. We hear that so-and-so passed, they passed away. And of course that means they died, they ceased to live here on earth. We all have that appointment coming. But here our Lord reverses the normal and talks about a passage from a state of death to a state of life. A passage. What is a passage? We go through several in life. A passage is a move that one makes out of one state into another. Some examples. Birth, natural birth, childbirth is a passage that we've all gone through. We passed from our mother's womb onto the delivery table or into the hands of the delivery doctor, or many times the hands of the attending nurses because the doctor hadn't gotten there yet. A passage. A baby comes out of the womb where it's been alive since conception. Amen? Okay, thank you. Yeah. and that baby passes from a dark, watery existence into a light-filled, lack of water existence. Mama's water breaks, and the doctor grabs the child or the nurse as it comes out, pops it on the rear end, and welcome to a new way of life, youngster. It's a passage. There's no going back. Once it occurs, it's done. We have birthdays. And then there's the passage when a toddler begins to walk. My daughter told me the other day, my youngest grandson, Andy, we call him Ange, okay? We're Barney Fife fans and so forth, so we call him Ange. Well, Ange is just about to start walking. He's pulling himself up and wreaking havoc as he can, just kind of pulling his way around. But soon he will pass into the walking stage, never to return to crawling unless he wants to. So that's a passage. And then we graduate, at least some of us graduate. We graduate from high school. And once you graduate from high school, that's a passage that you'll not repeat. And life changes after that. And of course, there's others that come marriage. We go from being single to being married. And oh, what a change of state that is for all of us. We have to learn that that's a great passage. And then some folks pass from working into retirement. But more and more, that's not happening for most folks. They work until they die. But then physically, we will go through that last passage physically where we pass from this world and we go into the next. And as big and important as those passages we've talked about are, they pale in insignificance compared to this one. This is the one you had better experience in your lifetime. And this is the passage from death to life. Let me pray. Father, impress upon every heart and mind in this room the profound nature of this passage. And I pray that, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit and your written word, that if there's one here that has not made this passage, it will occur even this morning. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Notice a few things about this passage from verse 24. First of all, it is the most important passage a person will ever experience in life. Our Lord loved to use this expression, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." The word "verily" obviously means truly. It's as if our Lord, and He's saying, "Truly, truly, this is the truth, this is the truth. And I'm saying this unto you." You could put it this way: if you get nothing else out of what I'm saying, get this one. We've all heard that expression. We've heard teachers say that in a classroom. If you get nothing else, get this. We've heard perhaps bosses or shift supervisors say something down that effect. The point is, this is very important. Don't miss this. One old divine said that men can be ignorant of many things in religion and still be saved. But to be ignorant of the new birth is to miss life. Our Lord put it this way in a verse I think I referred to in Sunday school: "What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Friend, you must pass from your current state of death into life if you hope to see God and avoid hell. You must pass. You must make this passage. Notice, secondly, this passage that's most important comes through hearing the word of Christ. This is a passage of learning truth. Jesus said in another place, he came to make known the truth, and that knowing the truth would set a man free. Truth. Oh, what a day we live in. What a day of deceit and lying and a lack of truth. Our political system is overrun with people who have a problem with the truth. Our news media is dominated by half-truths, twisted truths, or just flat-out lies to move an agenda. Truth is what is real. Truth is how things really are. Notice what our Lord said, "He that heareth my word." The idea here is not just to audibly hear the words of Christ, but to hear the words of Christ with a will to obey, with a will to heed what you've been told by Jesus Christ. The new birth, the second birth that Christ told Nicodemus a couple of pages back, comes by acknowledging and hearing the truth. Jesus told that religious man these words, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. He went on and told him this, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. He's dead already in his sins, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The Bible teaches that men and women are born into this world as babes, spiritually dead, and in need of passing from their state of spiritual death into life with God. The world teaches the opposite, that everyone that's born is born with a spark of divinity or deity in them, and under the proper environment and circumstances, people, all of them, will turn out good. That is contrary to the truth of the Bible. The Bible teaches we're born aliens to God. We're born enemies to God. We're born natural people, 1 Corinthians 2:14. We're born with no appetite really for God. We're born running from God. We're born the sons of our forefather Adam. We're born in sin, and therefore we're headed for eternal death while we are already spiritually dead. That's why wherever they're keeping the toddlers in this church this morning, those toddlers don't have to be taught how to be selfish and mean and arrogant and misbehaving. They come from the factory knowing that. They come into the world depraved And every individual needs a new birth. They need to pass out of their spiritual state of death into life with God. That is Bible truth. And Jesus makes it clear, he that heareth my word, these are those that will pass into eternal life. This, notice thirdly, this passage is by faith in the God who sent Jesus Christ. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. I've just read the verse that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I read the verse 17 in John 3, that the Bible said, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but he did send him that we might be saved. And those that believe that God sent Jesus Christ to be our Messiah, it's those that will have everlasting life. Over and over and over again in the Gospel of John, Jesus makes reference to this truth. He came not on his own. He came not to do his own will. He repeats over and over through the Gospel of John that he came to do the will of him that sent him. God sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And if you hope to pass out of your state of spiritual death that you were born in, then you must believe God sent him here to save you. There's no other way. This passage is realized by faith. He that believeth on him that sent me. The world teaches, and all the religions of the world teach, that it's not by simple faith in God that we're saved, but it's by our works that we are saved. By the amount of good things we try to do in the name of God to offset all the evil things we've done. But the Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to God's mercy that he saves us. Friend, if you're saved this morning, you have been saved because you believed that God was good and merciful in sending his Son to be slaughtered on a cross in your place. And you, by faith, have accepted the free gift of salvation. Paul put it this way in Ephesians, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The passage from death to life occurs when a person believes that God sent his Son Jesus to be their Savior. I did that at the age of 20. I made my way forward at the conclusion of a service in a church in California where I heard a preacher like myself just get up and preach the gospel. And I believed he was telling me the truth out of God's word. And since I've been saved now for 45 years, I'm more convinced than ever that it is the truth. I'm saved by believing that God sent his Son into the world as the Messiah, the one to pay the sin debt of everybody here this morning. Number four, notice this passage is out of condemnation. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. modern man puts the question forward. Would this God of love you talk about really send people to hell? Well, friend, if the Bible's true, and it is, then the answer to that is yes. And it's not because God is unloving, but it's because that He's not only a God of love, He's a God of holiness and justice. And He can't abide sin or look on it. God has displayed and manifested His love toward us in that He sent His Son to die in our place. But if men and women refuse to humble themselves and admit their lost, hell-bound condition, and then put their full trust in the sacrificial, vicarious death of the Son of God on their behalf, if they refuse the Father's offer of love, then God has no alternative, because He's holy to judge men's sins exactly like He said He would back in the book of Genesis, and that's with death. Physical death, but spiritual death, and it includes what the Bible calls the second death. Eternal death in the place called the lake of fire. Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Friend, the Bible teaches that in Adam we died. In Adam we sinned. Theologians say that Adam, and they say it rightfully so, Adam was the federal head of the human race. When he sinned, you and I sinned. And that's why before a baby ever comes out of the womb, in that baby's heart, there is that seed of sin. There is that depraved nature. And that's why young people don't have to be taught how to do wrong. They already know it. But praise be unto God, Jesus Christ came so that we could be saved from condemnation. He took, if it were, our condemnation upon Himself. The Bible declares in 2 Thessalonians that when Jesus Christ comes back the next time, He's not coming to die in our place. He's already done that. He's already made the sacrifice that can save your soul and my soul. And now He's given us the day of grace. Now the world enjoys what's called the church age. Now God is calling Himself out a people, a group of people who come to Him by believing He sent the Messiah, Jesus, and by accepting Jesus and becoming a child of God, John 1:12. Those that come to accept the Son and have life, 1 John 5:12. God is calling out a group, the church, to be saved. But when He comes back, He's coming back as the judge of the earth. And He's not coming back with love, but vengeance, according to the book of 2 Thessalonians. And it says there that He will come back in verse 8 of chapter 1 in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You say that's a hard picture of Jesus to imagine. I understand what you're saying, but it's clearly spoken by the Word of God, which is true. Finally, this passage is from death to life. Look at it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, get this, but is passed from death unto life. Passed, like a baby passes from its dark, watery cocoon out of a mother into the light of the delivering room in the slapping hands of a doctor. Never to go back to the watery cocoon. Just like that, when someone comes to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, that person, according to Jesus, passes from a state of death, spiritual death, over into spiritual life. There's an imaginary circle up here around me. We'll call it death. I was born into this world dead to God. For 20 years, I proved it. I had no use for God. I didn't care what the Bible said. I grew up in a broken home. My dad left my mom for a nurse at the office. Left us kids, I turned to drinking and fighting and acting like a fool. I was lost. I was just a natural product of natural parents who didn't know God. But you were born dead too, even if it was into a Christian home. I was born into the world, and the Bible says the sparks flew upward. I was born into the world just like you, and I began, as soon as I was born, to start speaking lies. Your children ever lie? They do. Did you teach them that? Nope. They come that way. They come dead to God. I was born dead and proved it with my life. At the age of 20, my brother, who had been born again in the Coast Guard, took me to a revival meeting like the one we're having this week. And a loud evangelist like myself got up and began to nail my sinful hide to the wall with the Word of God. And I shut my mouth, young people, like we talked last night, and I bowed my head, and I recognized he was talking about me, the Bible was. The preacher gave an invitation, said, if you'd like to believe in Jesus and accept Him as your Savior today, He will make you come alive to Him, and He will forgive your sin, and you'll be delivered out of the condemnation that you're in right now if you'll come and pray and accept Jesus Christ. Well, I just hauled off and came. And I got on my 20-year-old sinful knees, and I said, God, I believe You died for me. You sent Your Son. I'm a sinner. I don't even know, God, if I can live for You, but I want to. Would You save me? And friend, that moment, I passed out of a state of death. There's another circle over here we'll call life. And I passed forever out of death into life. I came alive to God. I could give you scripture after scripture, but I promised I wouldn't go those 2.5 hours I told you about. I came alive to God. God's Word began to make sense to me. I began to read it and understand more what it was saying. I had someone move in with me, the Holy Spirit. And when I would try to do something of the old life, now that I'd left death, there was someone inside of me going, That's not the way Christians live. That was the blessed Holy Spirit. I came alive to God. I came alive to God's house. I came alive to God's people. And I've never been spiritually dead since because I passed. You say, you were perfect then. Wrong. But I was saved. I had a new part of me that longed for God. I had a new part of me that wanted to know what God said. I had a new drive in me to to live for God. Yes, I stumbled. I still do. Yes, I committed sins here and there. But the Holy Spirit would convict me, and I'd talk to my Father and ask Him to forgive me for that daily sin. And He would forgive me, 1 John 1:9, and He'd restore fellowship with me. You see, I was born again. I left death and came over into life. I became a child of God, John 1:11 and 12. I was born again, John 3:3. I got a heavenly Father. And though I would stumble and mess up, a Father in love would correct me. But He never kicked me out of the family. Fathers don't do that. Hallelujah. Are you saved? Are you born again? Have you passed? Well, my daddy was a preacher. So? It's not the question. Well, I've been raised in church. Yeah, so is the cockroach that lives under the platform. He was born here. He's here more than you are. It's irrelevant. Folks, we're not talking about you getting religion. We're talking about you being born again, you passing from a state of death to life. Have you been saved? If you have, then the new life is evident in your experience. To think that you can come alive to God and live the same old way you've always lived, that is foreign to this book. This book teaches to come alive to God is to have all things start becoming new. There's things in my life that are still changing to the glory of God. I have been predestined to be conformed to His image because I'm saved. And everybody in this room that's truly saved, if you've truly passed out of death into life by faith in Jesus Christ, then you too, God's already determined He's going to make you more like His Son. How's that process going? These type weeks of special services are designed to encourage believers to live like they are saved. And to encourage unbelievers, if that's you, to be saved, to believe, to accept Christ, confess you're a sinner, and enjoy new life with God. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Do I look miserable to you? I'm not miserable. I'm rejoicing in Christ my Savior today, and I have been for 45 years. Hallelujah, what a Savior. If you're not saved, friend, I'd love to sit down with you after we dismiss. I'm going to get you out of here early. I'll sit down with you, and I'll lead you to Christ. I can't save you, but He can, and He will, if you'll ask Him to. Let's pray. Father, I've done my best to tell them about Your Son and my Lord. God, I pray if there's one in this room, or more than one, that needs to accept Your Son once and for all as their very own Savior from sin, I pray today You would do that in their life. Bring them, convict them, draw them with Your love to Your Son. And Lord, for those of us that are saved, I pray that our love affair, our spiritual love affair with Thee, would be rekindled. Thank You for saving us out of death and passing us over into eternal life. With heads bowed, eyes closed, why don't we stand and just get quiet for a moment? Could we stand across the room and be quiet? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Christian.